The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
He's got all the insight of what you want to know and maybe some of what you don't want to know. Here's K-State insider Tim Fitzgerald.
All right, welcome in here, everybody. Hour number two on the program, and Daphne and Fitz are ready to roll. What's that?
That's a dude.
I haven't talked to you, Fitz, about this before right this moment. TJ informed me of what you guys had to go Power Cat. I was pretty taken aback by the post-game comments of Jerome Tang after the loss to Drake. It just does not make sense to me to make excuses for your players. It does not make sense to me to try and deflect the fact that this team is not playing up to the standard it should be playing and blaming fans because they're being mean to a 23-year-old millionaire. Like, it's, you know, this isn't a freshman out there. Now, if fans are being overly egregious and saying stupid things, you should be ignoring those fans or attacking that, you know, privately. But it's just such a swing and a miss when your team does not have any quality wins this year, not one, that you get up there and literally shame the fans and call it criminal that they're not being kind to an underperforming team. It just does not make sense to me. And it's such a bad look.
Okay. So, Coleman Hawkins was referencing it turned out to be an Instagram post or DM from a guy saying, "I wish you'd break your leg." So they called out K-State fans. Well, my colleague and competitor, Derek Young from K-State Online, found the individual. He's not a K-Stater. He's a gambler. He was mad that K-State lost minus one. And this, first of all, I think the timing of this, even if it was a K-Stater, was wrong. I mean, come on. Talk about your game. That's the story, not this hopeful distraction, because it didn't work and it annoyed people. But second of all, don't take a shot at K-Staters when it wasn't a K-Stater. 99.9% certain it's not a K-Stater. Come on, man. What are we doing? Most of the posts I've seen, and I've been critical, fans have been critical, but almost every post I see is performance-based, effort-based, coaching-based criticism. Sometimes maybe it goes too far, but it's not personal necessarily. Now, getting personal, wishing harm, question character, all that stuff, come on. But if it's about performance, you're professionals. Whether you're the coach, which is getting paid an awful lot of money, or the players who now are getting paid an awful lot of money. And the irony here is Coleman Hawkins himself takes great pride in being in trolling back to people, just like I do. I don't take crap. I I fire back, which people are like, don't give me interaction. I'm like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to call him out. But he does too. So what are we doing here? I mean, you know.
Not playing well. Like that.
And here's the thing. Is I thought after that crappy start, which I called out, I mean, they were bad on defense to match their bad offense. Complete performance, if you ask me. But once they flipped the switch, I thought Coleman Hawkins was really good.
Yes.
And at times brilliant. He's really grown on me as a player. At the end of the game, I would have put the ball in his hands to make a pass because he's the best damn passer on the team and one of the best big men passing I've seen the ball in his hands with. So, look, you're getting there. It was progress. It was progress. We saw them actually play together, attack the rim, play with enthusiasm, and play like they cared. Progress. But you lost to Drake in front of a mostly K-State crowd and a mostly sold-out T-Mobile Center, and you're calling out the fans for not supporting you. They just showed up in droves in Kansas City to support you.
Fitz, the one thing that I'm really, you know, just kind of interested in is looking at, you know, social media and all the fans and the takes and everything that they're talking about. You know, a lot of people are asking about, you know, buyout numbers and talking about and overreacting and you know, everything like that. But to see this fan base 2 years ago, you know, knees on the ground talking about Coach Tang, and now to see where they're at now, you know, just how drastic of a shift has the fan base gone over these past 2 years?
It's incredible. It really is. And when you're winning and you ask people to buy in, and they will. And they did. And, you know, he stood on the table and said, expect this, you know, I'll give you this one court storming against KU, but expect this, you know, from here on out. I did a daily delivery on that very topic. You asked for these expectations. You literally stood on a table in front of a crowd and asked for these expectations. So don't get mad when the expectations are in place. There's been a lot said about Kansas State's NIL budget. There's been a lot said about how much Coleman Hawkins is getting of that budget. And that just changes the whole equation for me, guys. I mean, it really does, but don't get mad when people expect you to win because you told them to expect to win.
Yeah,
that's weird.
And again, it was a deflection, not just the lecture of the fans, but then to also try and deflect and say these kids are under pressure because they're getting paid. Like, college athletes have never been under pressure before they were paid. A, they were being paid anyway. Let's not be so naive. And B, like, what? Like, there's always been pressure for college athletes to win games. Like that's such a cop out to me because you can't have it both ways. Do you want the kids to get paid or do you want the expectations to be lower? Like I don't understand that take to begin with. And in reality, I think it's an easy deflection. Well, these are just kids getting paid. Like, no, they're not. Coleman Hawkins is 23 years old, right? TJ, are you even 23 years old yet?
I am 23 years old.
So TJ's 23 years old. I'm not saying that as a joke. TJ's 23 years old. Coleman Hawkins is 23 years old. Does TJ deserve criticism if he's bad at his job? Of course he does. So, like, what are we doing here?
Because he sucks at his job.
This isn't some 17-year-old walking on campus. He doesn't need Jerome Tang to get up there. And he shouldn't need, or that's a problem. Like, you can't have it both ways. And it's such a miss on a deflection of what is really going on. And that's that they're not performing anywhere near where they should be performing. Not even close. They don't have a quality win, Fitz. They haven't beaten anybody this year.
What is the best win? Cleveland State. Are we going to say Cleveland State's the best win? What's the best win?
God.
New Orleans.
I know it's not Arkansas Pine Bluff. I know that. But, yeah, they've got one more shot in the non-con. And it's Saturday night right there in Wichita.
Well, you know what sucks about them for them is Wichita State, by the way, who had a one of the more disappointing losses ever this week. That loss dropped Wichita State 32 spots in the net ranking. So while in reality, we all know because we pay attention to the teams that that is a quality game, and if they win it, it will be a very good win. For the resume, it may not be. Because of that loss Wichita State just suffered to UMKC, dropping them as far as it did, now it won't appear to the committee later in the year that this is nearly as high quality a game as it might have been. By the way, Paul Mills, who used to coach with Jerome Tang, you know what he said after the game, Fitz?
What's that?
He said, I'm embarrassed for the fans that they had to watch that performance. So you had former cohorts, one blaming the fans for, I don't know if he's blaming, I don't know what he's blaming them for, but shaming them, and one apologizing to fans for a poor performance. Fascinating to put them side by side and then know they have to come play each other this weekend.
Yeah. Here's the headline. Someone's going to lose. And those fans will be mighty upset. And both programs are in interesting spots, but Wichita State's, you know, in the early stages of this. And in some ways, Kansas State is. But, boy, when you come out and get an Elite Eight bid, I think that changes how everyone's going to look at you. Look, based on the contract, Jerome Tang's going to be around for a few more years. So he's going to have to find a way to make this work. And I just saw an interesting piece of journalism where a lot of good journalism has moved to Substack. And the guy broke down rosters right now and pointed out that Kentucky is really the only program with a completely rebuilt roster that's thriving. Everyone else is struggling in some way. And he set out the parameters about the number of players you need with 2+ years in your program and the number of, you know, veteran players you need in your starting lineup. And it all makes sense. There has to be a blend between the NIL and foundational pieces, which is exactly what Drake had in that game. They were foundational pieces from Northwest Missouri State. By the way, they were mostly foundational pieces available for recruiting in the Kansas City area. And if you can put that foundation in place, which I think Bill Self does a terrific job with, he uses the NIL, he goes, brings guys in, but around them, he's got 5 or 6 guys that have played. They know the way, they know the expectations, they know the system, and they can coach along with the coaches. I think you have to have that, because if you're reinventing your roster every year, you look like a bunch of guys that don't understand how to play together, because you don't.
You know, just talking about, you know, obviously the expectations and everything that we're talking about, and you know, K-State fans known to overreact a time or two. I'm sure they have a time or two. At what point is it granted? You know, what is it going to take for, you know, the legit freak out where you legit start looking at, you know, talking to Gene Taylor, everything like that? You know, is it winless, last in the Big 12? You know, what's the floor?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Look, K-Staters have different expectations than just winning. And I think there's some clarity here. They expect you to go to work. They expect when you're on the job, which in this case is playing a sport, you're going to work hard. You're going to work with passion. You're going to work with focus. And you're going to try to make the name on the front of your jersey as proud as you would be with the back one. And they're not doing that. At the end of the day, that's really it. K-Staters can't stand crappy effort, uneven effort, heartless performance. And we're seeing more of that in the NIL era, I believe, because they got theirs. And now they've lost sight of playing for the spirit of the game. And I'm sorry, man. I don't know if you're really making $2 million. That's what everyone thinks. That's what I've been told. But you're getting better paid than almost every Kansas State fan. Yeah, there's some people out there making more than $2 million this year. It's not me. in fact, I would take the NIL budget of the 11th best player on the team. And that's it. That's what makes people mad. Why are you bitching at me? You're all more highly paid than I am.
Yeah. And it's, listen, if you're going to take, if you're going to be angry in the pros, yes, get angry at the players, right? But in college, the coaches are still making more. Like, Are you more upset about Coleman Hawkins or that this team is underperforming top to bottom? That's a coaching issue. If you want to get mad at a salary, get mad at a coaching salary. How many raises has Jerome Tang had now at K-State? Two, right? Two raises?
Yep.
Be mad at that. And I'm a Jerome Tang guy, by the way.
I love it.
I really, really like and appreciate Jerome Tang, what he brings to the table, what he wants to do. I love that he cares so much about the kind of people he has there. That's why this was so irritating to me, is because it's such a miss from a guy who I think gets it right almost all the time and does navigate it. But man, like, their team's just not performing well, which is a reflection on coaching. So just own it that way. Just own that part of it and move on. And if your feelings are hurt about a fan or what somebody says, handle that stuff privately, man. You can't come on the podium and do that. It's a distraction. That was a very small part of what he said after that game. And it's all we're going to focus on because it is what it is. You got to be smart. You can't do that. You just can't do that. Let's talk a little football here, Fitz. How's the portal looking? You guys can keep up with this stuff. I can't. My brain can't comprehend it. How's K-State looking in the portal right now?
Last night there was a report of a Purdue receiver committing, but we haven't seen that from the receiver or the coaches. Taylor Brad hasn't tweeted out his bring on the cats, which is the signature. So we're holding off on that. I think they're in like a diligent phase of this. And I know they look around and see a lot of programs, Texas Tech in particular, bringing in some really good players. They just picked up an interior defensive lineman from UCF that's pretty damn good, which K-State probably could have used. But I think they're also exercising their NIL for the transfer portal. Same topic, different sport. Is that the best way to go? What are your guys in your locker room who have been sweating in your practice facility for 2 years think of that guy coming in who might be better, but he just transferred, so he got paid? You're getting punished for loyalty. And Chris Klieman's taking the approach, I'm going to reward the guys in my program. I'm going to try to hold my roster. If these guys are important, the NIL is going to go to them so I can keep them. And there's NIL for some transfers. You got to be in the ballpark, but that's not their lead first, because we're seeing exactly why they've chosen not that path with what's happening with basketball. Granted, 13 players all getting NIL is totally different than a 105-man roster. But it's been an interesting approach. They're going to add more players. I bet you they'll get into the 5 to 6 range when it's all said and done. If they go above that, I'll be a little surprised. But this 105 roster limit that starts is changing everything. And I think it's slowed down the portal for some teams. But just imagine this. If you're adding like 10 players from the portal, you were probably over 105 to start with. And then you were back over it again with your recruiting class. Those guys you're signing or bringing in from the portal, all going to boot guys off this roster. You can't just go to 125 anymore. It's 105.
Yeah.
So it's going to get interesting for some of these programs when they start making really deep cuts.
Yeah. You know, obviously you'd have to think that wide receiver is a spot that they're going to do. And it's going to be really interesting in this bowl game as well. Who's going to play wide receiver in this bowl game? A lot of young guys. Tyler Lockett's very vocal about who he wants to see play in this bowl game as well. But you feel like that's the top target that the Cats are going after in this portal, is to get some wide receiver depth?
Yeah, they definitely need some depth. And you know what? They need some they haven't had great luck out of the portal with receivers. And maybe it's not the receivers, maybe it's the system, but they want to find guys that can slide in and play and be effective at this level. But I think I'm sure they stepped up with Jason's NIL, Jace Brown. He was vocal in the locker room all season. And, you know, it came out, someone reported that he was transferring, which we know was his plan. But I think they calmed it all down, again, by taking the NIL and using it on him instead of an outside receiver, because he's a known commodity. He's got a good relationship with the starting quarterback. And if you can get him better focused on non-NIL things, you know what I mean? He can get him focused on the team. He could be that guy in the locker room that says the thing nobody else wants to say, because he does. That's his personality. He'll say what's on his mind. And that can be a powerful thing or a negative thing. But I think they recognize in Jace Brown, He's a home run hitter. We don't need to go to the portal to find one. We've got one. Let's keep that. And let's go to the portal and find guys that supplement it. And I'm also still intrigued with what they're going to do with Dylan Edwards. Now that DJ Gidden's gone, does that put him at running back full time? Or is part of this plan, because they're sniffing around portal running backs too, to move him more to a receiver slash occasional running back? That's how I think he should be used. But I'm sure he'll be a full-time running back in this bowl game along with Joe Jackson because of DJ Gidden's absence.
I was going to ask you about Giddens. I'm glad you brought him up, his decision. I was surprised by that. Maybe I'm the only one, but I can't imagine Giddens is going to be a top three round pick, we'll say.
Nope.
So
not running back, no.
Knowing that, I was pretty surprised there wouldn't have been a better earning opportunity to return to K-State versus what he'll be able to earn as a later round draft pick. That one surprised me for that reason.
I think the calculation for a running back is, by staying another year, does my value really rise that much?
No, but can't he earn more? Wouldn't you be surprised if he'll earn more in year one in the NFL than he would have at K-State through NIL if he returned?
Well, there's some truth to that. But also, you start moving towards your full pension if you can stick around the league long enough. So that one year might be really important. And let's say it. DJ Giddens is beat up. This team offensively spent, in my opinion, too much time trying to protect Avery Johnson in the run game. I thought it was to a fault. They removed him too often. There were some games where he simply couldn't do it, but I thought they were too shy with it all year long. And the result of that was DJ Giddens taking more of a beating.
Yeah.
He runs between the tackles almost every time, and he runs over people. He runs through people. He doesn't avoid contact. The guy's a great football player. I've never this is the greatest, like, personal growth story I've seen from K-State football. This guy was so shy. And I, you know, don't think he had very good verbal skills as a child. He didn't talk very much. He liked to go fishing, just spend time with himself, and probably get a meal. And the growth this guy has seen as a football player has been completely self-earned. I mean, along with leaning on his coaches and strength coaches and everything. But did we see this? No, we didn't. We really didn't. And it makes me proud when I see a kid like DJ earn all of this through really hard work and personal growth. It's really cool to see.
DJ was always the fun interview after the games because you had no idea what he was going to say, if he was going to say anything at all, for that matter. But yeah, definitely an awesome story there. Piggyback on what we talked about earlier with the expectations of the basketball team and everything, you know, just a month ago, that was a hot topic for the football team because of the, you know, 8-win speech and everything like that. You know, I know there's a bowl game first and obviously everything going ahead, but, you know, what's the expectation for K-State football? You know, if everybody's going to be critical, what do they need to be critical for? What's the expectation?
Well, I think eight wins is the baseline. I mean, obviously, because that's in his contract. And you know what, as a K-Stater that's been around a long time, I never thought I'd see that, when 8 wins is disappointing. But it is, it really is. And I don't think it was the 8 wins. It was how they came about, that they were 7-1. Mm-hmm. And then they went 1-3 down the stretch. And as I've stepped back and looked at this, you can look at the bowl depth chart and even removing, you know, Parrish and Giddens, the guys going out, this is still a pretty damn young team. You had a sophomore quarterback, a true sophomore middle linebacker that was your leading tackler. You got young guys all over the field. Jace Brown's a true sophomore. I mean, the four key guys we're talking about, Dylan Edwards, Avery Johnson, Jace Brown, and Austin Romaine, are all true sophomores. This was a young team, and I think by the time they got to that stretch, they were out of gas. They hadn't, most of these kids hadn't gone through that. Austin Romaine talked about it last year, playing full-time as a true freshman. He hit a wall. And I feel like this team just physically and mentally was exhausted by, you know, that
Avery was hurt.
Avery was hurt. Everyone's banged up.
Yeah.
And And I thought their spirit dropped. I really do. I don't think they played with the same type of enthusiasm that we saw. And they just overwhelmed Cincinnati. But you look back at the season, guys, there was a four-way tie for first in case they lost to three of those teams. So, and they beat the fourth one.
Caution K-State fans a little bit here. Texas ran Mack Brown out of town after eight wins. That didn't go so well.
No.
K-State fans shouldn't have to think back that hard at the first time they tried to replace Bill Snyder. Eight wins a year is a fantastic baseline. It just is. You can get as mad at that as you want. You can wish and hope that they would be, you know, Ohio State winning 10, 11 games a year. It's not going to happen. So if the floor is eight wins, I think that's pretty damn good floor. If we're being honest with ourselves.
80% of college football would take that.
Should take that, whether they will or not.
Should that's true. That. Fans, that might be different.
Yeah. It's just let's be real about it. Fitz, appreciate it. We got a real great game this weekend, not for the reasons we thought when the season started, but it should be a packed house, I think, at Coke Arena. I think it's going to be.
It's got to be, doesn't it?
I think it'll be the best crowd that arena sees this year. And if you're a K-State fan and you're not used to it, it is one of the best college basketball venues in the country when it's full and loud like that. So hopefully everybody will be able to check it out, and hopefully both of those teams can start playing better.
And one final thought, renew this series. Do this again.
Do it every year. It is so important. I thought about this the other day, and for Kansas too, and everybody, like right now in the state, and Kansas doesn't need it as much because they'll sell out anyway. But for teams like K-State and Wichita State, and for the financial component of where college sports is headed, here's one positive, I hope. And we'll have to ask Kevin Saul this question. Doesn't it incentivize playing these kind of games more? Because filling arenas has never been more critical for these programs. Like, they ought to be playing marquee games every chance they get just to try to generate revenue through ticket sales.
I agree. And I would like to see them playing UMKC every year. I mean, I think those regional games, I know the argument, but we have more to lose than they do.
Not anymore. Yeah. No, exactly.
Don't. Yeah. Going into the Wichita Saturday, you don't have much left to lose.
Well, financially, you're about to have to get, like Kevin Saul put for Wichita State, who doesn't have football. I don't know if you've seen this, Fitz. He's projecting Wichita State needs to generate, what is it, TJ?
$7 million, I think is what it was.
$7 million more in revenue now in the model of sharing that's coming. That's without football, right? I can't imagine what football programs are going to have to generate when that. Like, there should be no more question of buy games. We can't. No. Buy games cost you a lot of money, but B, schedule quality opponents and fill up your arenas. If you need to generate the money, play every quality game you can play. And take Kansas as an example. It'll make you better by the end of the year anyway. Bill Self schedules like crazy. They play a crazy schedule. Does it hurt them by the end of the year? Of course it doesn't. Fill up those arenas. I'm telling you. It can be financial comeuppance here for these programs. Fitz, at Life of Fitz on social. Of course, go powercat.com. Enjoy the day. Happy holidays. We'll be off next week, Fitz. So it'll be, it may be into 2025 before we have a chance to talk to you again. Merry Christmas. I see the tree there behind you, and we'll talk again soon.
And the new Powercat podcast is up, and it's a little fiery too.
Yeah, a little spicy. A little spicy in there. Check it out. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We got a voice message we'll get to through the Odyssey app on some of the things we've been talking about here. Don't go away. It's all Brockton Cleland Sports Daily on a Thursday. Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Thanks for being here with us, Crestview Country Club. All kinds of fun going on for the holiday season, different events for the new year, for Christmas, lots of kids activities, and of course, getting you ready for the upcoming cold season. If you're a golfer, you can get on the track man there and play some I don't know if you call it virtual golf, but you can do that. Tennis players, you can go inside on the courts there. So there you go. Crestview Country Club, appreciate their support of the program. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you here from Sports Daily. All right. Let's go. I believe we had a little bit of a computer issue there, but I think we have it back now. So we've got a voice message through the Odyssey app here. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland with you on Sports Daily. Jad has that for us. This coming in from Jason. So, Jad, let's hear what Jason had to say.
Good morning, fellas. Good show as always. My prediction is that Mahomes is indeed going to play primarily because of Hollywood Brown. I think with the potential of the Chiefs not having to play that final game at Denver, as well as having a week off in the playoffs, hopefully with the number one seed, means that reps will be limited between Mahomes and Hollywood Brown with live bullets flying in games. So I think if Hollywood Brown wasn't coming back so early, we would have been seeing Carson Wentz in this upcoming game. But Hollywood Brown gives them their probably most consistent deep threat, their biggest ability to beat man coverage more consistently compared to Xavier Worthy. So I'm excited to see what he can do. And my guess is he will be a difference maker as we come to the playoffs.
Good stuff there from Jason. Appreciate it. Again, you can leave us those voice messages right there through the Odyssey app. I think Brown's a difference maker, and I think, yes, they're going to want Brown and Mahomes to get ready. Do I think Mahomes is playing primarily because Brown is playing? I would say no. That seems too risky. I think Mahomes is playing primarily because his ankle feels good, and he can. And they're still playing for home field. It will be interesting, TJ, if they are able to wrap up home field, win their next two games, because I can't imagine that they're going to want 2 weeks off for their starters. Like, if you get home field, you get the built-in bye. I would play the starters at least a little bit. 2 weeks off before a playoff game seems strange to me. I'd still let him play, like treat it like a preseason game almost.
Yeah, I mean, maybe put him out there for a drive, I guess, if you're going to do it. But I mean, in my opinion, I think that the Kansas City Chiefs are just so beat up. Obviously, they're becoming more healthy as we were talking about, but they had that bye in week five, I think. So they've played, they're gonna end up playing.
Yeah.
What, 14 straight football games every single week, and then have the, you know, 3 games in 10 days storyline. You've got your quarterback with an ankle sprain and everything like that. So maybe if they get to that point where they win these next two games, I would say leave Patrick Mahomes on the sidelines, maybe put everybody else out there if you really want to do that. But I mean, I'm completely okay with the starters taking 2 weeks off, honestly.
Well, look, I would ask Mahomes in the start, like, what do you want to do? That'd be the first thing I did. I think there would be enough trust, and I know people would point to the Hollywood Brown injury to say sometimes you just have to, you know, Tommy's not here today, but I can guarantee you that's what he would say. I would probably lean into the players and say, what do you want to do here? Like, you can rest up. We have everything. This game means nothing. Do you want to start? Do you want to get a drive in? Do you want to get some reps in? Do you care? 2 weeks off is a long time in football. Like, that's hard to me. I can't imagine going on ice for 2 weeks and then, you know, getting in there that way. But it would be fine if they did it. If any team could do it, it would be the Chiefs. Like, if any team you would just trust will do exactly what they need to do with the time off and be ready to go for the playoff game, it would be the Chiefs. I'd probably just ask the players. We got to get there first, though. You got to get there. And who knows? It could happen even sooner. They could be in a situation where they clinch with 3 weeks off. You know, all of that stuff still has to be played out. A couple other comments, then we'll take a break and get to something TJ's just sent, an announcement for KU basketball that's pretty exciting, quite frankly. So a discussion happening right now on YouTube, which is one of the places you can watch our video stream. Rick says NIL, we were talking about this with Fitz as it pertains to K-State, was never set up to be this. It was so a kid could advertise for a company or sign autographs for money, not pay for play. Ken then chimed in and says subsequent court cases have resulted now in changing all of this, essentially. Compensation's not just allowed, but it's going to be mandated, quite frankly, through revenue sharing. And then Rick just says now courts don't want to count junior college as years, so let's have 27-year-olds playing college. It's all ridiculous. Okay, there's a lot to unpack there. Ken is correct, I think, in that it's not about the true intent of NIL and pay to play, the courts are telling these schools they can't just hoard all the money from the players anymore. It's not legal. It never was legal. It never made any sense. And now the courts are saying you're going to have to compensate these players for their work. So like it, love it, hate it, doesn't matter. It's happening, right? It's irrelevant what we all think about it. The ruling yesterday Rick is referencing, and we haven't talked about this, there is a ruling in the court now that a junior college, I think it was the player that sued here.
It was Diego Pavia, the Vanderbilt quarterback, basically sued and said that it's not fair that he wasn't allowed to get NIL money because he was at a junior college, so he should get an extra year.
But so in reality, the far-reaching implications of that are that junior college years don't count against your eligibility in the NCAA. I would say this about that. I think this is a good thing. I think it's a good thing, A, for junior colleges, and I think that will help them on the recruiting trail. I think it will be easier for kids to make the decision to go to a junior college. And the NJCAA and the NCAA are two different places. So letting that be a year that doesn't count against how many years, I think it's going to make players better. I think it's going to be good for junior colleges, which we just saw Hutchinson win a national championship, which are important to us here in this part of the world. The Jayhawk League's critical. And so I think it's a good thing, honestly, if junior colleges can not count that against NCAA eligibility, because it'll let kids go get seasoned before they come. As far as older players playing in college, that just has never bothered me. I don't really care. You get 4 years there, you get 4 years and you got to go. I'm okay with that. And if it's a junior college kid that comes in, let's say it's, you know, this is just an example of Ben Powers, right? Who was a premier junior college player. So if he's now allowed to have another year of eligibility in college, I don't have a problem with that. I think it's fine.
I mean, that part is fine, thinking about it from that part of it. But I think that the issue is I don't think people have issues with, you know, 26-year-olds playing in college, like Alan Bowman, the Oklahoma State quarterback, just finished his seventh year of college. And it's like, yeah, like, whatever, it's not your life. Who cares? But the issue is that, you know, you've got whatever it may be. Avery Johnson here in Mays High School, he's losing a starting spot because there's a 26-year-old who's just milking up all of his time. So the trickle-down effect is what people are going to be complaining about.
I'm not talking about Alan Bowman. I'm not talking about seventh-year seniors. I'm talking about a kid that went to a junior college and just basically had his timer start once he got to his college. It's not the guys who have been able to play. Jalen Daniels has been in college for a very long time. He's taken somebody's spot. Are we okay with that?
I mean, that's the issue. I think that, honestly, in my opinion, I would go the other way from this, and I would say that, you know, you get a timer once you get there, and it's 5 years, and you can have one redshirt in there, and then, you know, if you, like, it sucks if you get hurt and everything like that. Obviously, medical redshirts are the reason that these guys get so much of this stuff, but, you know, in football, you know, you can play, what is it, four games and still redshirt, and, you know, it's just, I don't like it. I would rather have.
I'm with you on that. I mean, Jalen Daniels is about to play his sixth year of college football, and he's played in all five of the years prior.
Yeah, and I think that, it's going to be the same thing. Obviously, you're only going to get the 4 years at the school, but, like, I mean, you're going to have, whenever you look at recruiting and stuff like that, you're going to have seniors that would graduate in this senior class of 2025, that would still be playing football in 2031, because you're going to get 2 years of junior college, then you could get a redshirt year, and then you could play four more years after that. And so it's going to, you know, just dilute the field of guys that we're going to see. And, you know, these high school kids are going to lose opportunities because of it. So,
well, but they'll have more opportunities now to go to junior college. I mean, and that's the flip side of it, right? Because now they know junior colleges don't count against their eligibility. They go get ready in junior college to make the jump. Yes, we do need to. And the COVID year messed all this up. We know that, right? The COVID year is why we have these seventh year seniors and whatever it is. That part needs to go. I totally agree. I would say this too, like, the way you do that is to get this stuff all sorted out in court. You set up your parameters, and then you have work contracts where the parameters are crystal clear. You are agreeing to this formula. Yes, you are being paid for it, but no, you don't get to transfer, or you don't get paid by our school because you transfer. Like, those kinds of things all get settled up through contracts. And I think that's where we're headed. And, you know, we got to get there first. And so we're going to have to sort through all these little court cases that change the landscape every other day. Just reality of it. Just reality of it. I would contend this. Are we going to be thinking about any of that when we're watching college football playoff games on Saturday? No. We're thinking about that on Thursday. Once the games start, we're thinking about the games. It'll be okay. We're going to get there. We're still figuring it all out. But the new frontier will be better than the old. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get to that news for Kansas basketball. Great opportunity. We're talking about NIL and all these things. KU gets a good one. That'll be next year. We'll tell you what happened next on Sports Daily.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
You want to win some HTO, free iced tea, sweet or unsweet, and a free iced or hot coffee drink? All you got to do right now is text the keyword tea, T-E-A, to the short code 20357. These will be good for either Wichita location or in Derby. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. That's tea to the short code 20357. IHOP hotline back open for you at 869-1240 for a couple more minutes. Brought to you by IHOP, official breakfast partner of Xbox. Try that fully loaded French toast at IHOP. All right, TJ, you sent this to me here. It looks like KU is going to be in the Players Era Championship out in Vegas in 2025. Shouldn't surprise us. We thought this was coming. And so we'll remind you that this, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the tournament now where it comes with its own like separate NIL opportunities tied to it. And I think this is really interesting to watch and see. You'll get an in-season tournament here, which for Kansas fans, it just provides the chance to play some really good teams early in the year. And for the players and coaches, it makes it easier to recruit players there because they get invited to a tournament like this where you could earn a little cash on the side.
Yeah, basically. So there was 12 teams in it this last year, and they just added four more teams, or whatever it was, some unreal number amount of teams. I just tweeted it out that there's a 16, like 16 teams are in the field, and 12 of them are currently ranked in the latest AP poll, and like eight of them are top 15. So it's an unreal field. And so it's what KU does already. They already play a bunch of great teams. This is going to give you even more, and it's going to be awesome. So basically how it works is, they have to follow all the NCAA regulations and everything. So there's a bunch of bylaws, and the way that they do things is going to be different. But basically, they're going to raise a bunch of money off of ticket sales. They're going to raise a bunch of money off a TV deal they have with TNT, I believe. And that's pretty much going to kind of get paid out to the players in different NIL deals one way or another. So it makes a ton of sense. And this is the way, in my opinion, we just kind of talked about this before the break of, NIL became pay to play and everything like that. This is what, people were kind of asking for all along. Nobody was asking for Joe Schmo to have to donate $50 to the collective to try to keep Jace Brown at K-State or whatever. Asking for the 102,000 people that were at Kyle Field that maybe a little bit of the money should have gone to Johnny Manziel,
And that will come through revenue sharing, but I think even more to your point, like, these are the kinds of opportunities that take nothing away from us as fans. In fact, it enhances our fan experience because you're going to see these great games. This is what should be happening with bowl games, by the way. If you want to talk about bowl games and how do you get kids to play in them and do all that, you pay the kids to play in them. You pay them. Bowls make a lot of money. That's why they're around. So take a portion of that and give it to the players. If you want them to play in an exhibition game that they didn't sign up for, then you pay and you'll get better participation. You'll get better games. You'll get all of that. That's why college basketball has a tremendous opportunity here to become a larger revenue generator, I think, for these schools, because it's always been overlooked. You can't like weeknight programming like this is so dang valuable, and I hope schools are able to take advantage of it, and it'll help some of these things we're talking about when they're trying to come up with new money. That's why Brett Yormark being in charge of the Big 12, the timing is good because he's been at the forefront of this kind of stuff. Not that this has anything to do with him, but this sort of idea is the next frontier for college basketball. Make it a bigger deal, men and women. By the way, the women are doing this tournament too. I don't know how many teams are in theirs. They announced their first four teams, I believe, yesterday that will be in this. There is massive potential here, and it will be good for everybody, mostly the fans, because now that field, come on. Those are like, you're going to be locked into that. That stuff matters. The NBA Cup doesn't really matter to, you know, to set, but this matters to teams' resumes. It matters to whether or not you could make the NCAA. Like, there's a lot on the line for a tournament like that. So I love it. I think it's going to be cool, and I can't wait to watch it. I didn't watch it this year, but I will next year if Kansas is in it, obviously. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up. We'll tell you what's on the network today. Sports Daily coming right back.